Red Line.
4 years after the coup in Libya and medieval-style murder of its leader, Muammar Gaddafi, his elder son, Saif al-Islam, was sentenced to death in Tripoli by the court of the self-proclaimed Islamist government in a bizarre move that won worldwide condemnation. This makes Saif al-Islam our man of the news this week. Guilty verdict to Gaddafi's son and Libya Jamaria's former military intelligence chief, along with his eight associates, was announced in the absence of Saif al-Islam, who was reportedly held captive by a rival Islamic group based in the city of Zintan in western Libya. What added more confusion to the whole story and totally devalued the very idea of the just and fair trial was that the Tripoli court's decision was condemned by Libya's legitimate government based in the city of Tobruk. It was also denounced by human rights activists, the United Nations, and the Council of Europe, which came up with statements saying that Saif al-Islam should be handed over to the International Criminal Court to face war crimes charges. Ironically, soft-spoken Saif al-Islam, who got his PhD degree in London, was once a darling of the West, who developed a reputation as a high flyer in the European elite.
Well, Andrew, really, this looks as total confusion. This is not the first time when we are discussing Libya. You remember, we had a program which we were trying to find out what happened, you see, on the ruins of Jamahiriya.
Yes, I remember that program.
Yeah, and you know, when Gaddafi was really ousted and he was murdered in that horrible scenes which we've seen on TV. So there was a lot of still enthusiasm about so-called democratic reformers, democratic revolutionaries of Libya. And now what we see, I don't want to use the term, failure state, but actually what happened to Libya, de facto it ceased to exist as a country, because we see that there are two or three governments, there are rivalry groups, and now what we've seen with this court, some Islamic government, which, as you said, not recognized by the world, is well involved in a sort of a strange exercise, saying that they're announcing death penalty to the son of Gaddafi, who is somewhere in the hands of another grouping which is hating this government. And in addition to that, we have legitimate government which is not in Tripoli, in Tobruk. No one could have imagined, even in wildest imagination, that this thing can happen to Libya, which was a stable country, which had its own, well, path of development, strategy of development, whether someone likes it or not. And which would become a sort of hotbed of tension and a springboard for radical Islamists.
But you know, Muammar Gaddafi himself did say this would happen if his country is invaded.
Absolutely. And now what we see, this looks really like witch hunting, like political vendetta, which has nothing to do with justice without borders.
Well, it's very confusing to many observers, but to help shed some light on what's really going on is our in-studio guest, Mr. Yevgeny Satsunovsky, who is president of the Institute of the Middle East here in Moscow, as well as a prominent author. So what do you make out of this bizarre decision? I mean, why would this self-proclaimed Islamist government announce a decision that they can't even enforce?
Gentlemen, let I disagree with you. That's the democracy. That's the Middle Eastern democracy.
Well, but you sound ironical, Mr. Sadler.
Oh, no. That's the only Middle Eastern-style democracy which was any chance to have after replacement of authoritarian regimes. This democracy not include the rules of minorities. This democracy not include any type of rules of humans. That's tribalism.
Tribal
radicalism.
That's a new definition.
Radical tribal Islamism of the type under which dictators like Gaddafi or Hafez Assad or, well, Saddam Hussein were pussycats. That's a huge danger for the neighbors of this ex-countries, failing countries. There are no Libya's country. There are territory historically named Libya. And that's, some route for millions of illegal immigrants from Africa to Europe. Look at the situation with the Saif al-Islam. That's normal for this region. He is a son of Gaddafi. He must be assassinated. Well, he's not in Tripoli, he's in Zintan. Zintan leadership is not the friendly group to the Tripoli leaders. The governor in Tobruk say no, that's anyway illegal, so on. But that's Middle Ages, where in old time of tribalism of the African style, so bloody and so non-civilized as it any can be, what you are strange on. That's the real result of democratization. Remember the American ambassador who was killed
in
Benghazi?
Stevens.
Not every day American ambassador and the diplomats will be killed in some... And that was an ambassador who helped the people who killed him. In all his biography, he must be the part of the team. He was killed.
Yeah, he was even running guns.
Mr. Santos, let's have a closer look at the role of Saiful Islam. As Andrew said, he was once a darling of the West. We know that he was just going to Europe. He was just seen by some as high flyer. Some even described him as playboy. So you remember?
I've read that description
before,
a lot, yes.
There was a lot of just stories about him. But now what is surprising to me, that mockery trial, as you said, and there's no much of a noise over in Western media over that.
But he was danger. He is danger just now, and before he will be killed, he will be danger. He is a son of Gaddafi. He is Gaddafi, which means...
Yeah, but he's a personality
Absolutely. That's the story why the imperator's family was killed after the revolution on Urals. He's a symbol. He's a symbol of good old time. He can be playboy.
So do I get it right? He's denied, independent role as a personality.
He can play a role in the unity of Libya in future. For a lot of tribe leaders, for Warfalla and Kaddafa and Obeida and a lot of different groups, he is a symbol of good old time because he is a son of Gaddafi and he still lives in Libya. We never discuss this. But that is the major reason why he must be killed as soon as possible for the so-called government in Tripoli.
Okay, well, joining us right now on the line is Mr. Rod Thornton, Senior Lecturer of the Defense Studies Department at King's College London.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Thornton. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. Yes. So, we're discussing Mr. Saif al-Islam and his significance and his symbolism and what he means not only to Libya, but to the rest of the world when they think about the war in Libya. And what's your take on that? What kind of commentary can you provide on this?
Well, I think he's very much representative of the Gaddafi regime, the old regime. I think we've kind of moved on since the Gaddafi regime and an evolution that unseated him. So all the Gaddafi kind of people involved in it at that time were very much part of kind of history, really. And Libya has far more divisions and problems now unrelated to the Gaddafi, which it has to deal with. So I think it's something of a throwback, something historical. I don't think it really matters anymore what about the Gaddafis and Gaddafi's son for the future of Libya. But a far more important thing is going on now in Libya than what happens to Gaddafi's son.
Okay, well, what I wanted to ask you, following up on that, then, why do you think that self-proclaimed Islamist government is announcing his death sentence now? I mean, why would they announce that now and not previously? I mean, you think this is some call for publicity, perhaps, or you think they're just trying to revive the ghost? I mean, what is the whole point of this?
No, I think it's part of the judicial process. I think part of the idea within Tripoli is to give the impression that the system is working, that this trial of Gaddafi came to an end, and that is part of the whole judicial process, that it has a judicial process. But it's also important, I think, for the authorities to show that they have power, that they do things, that they are in control. You give a message, here is the judicial process going on. I think it just reached a natural conclusion, that particular trial. I don't think there's anything we can read into the timing of it. It just was the end of the trial.
Okay, well, I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, you're theorizing that they announced this to, if you will, enhance the legitimacy, but all international authorities are saying that the death sentence is illegitimate, and they're calling for it to be handed over to the ICC. In that case, you think this might have been a media move that kind of backfired on them, or you think this will just increase the appeal they have to their base in Tripoli?
I think it's an appeal to the base in Tripoli. The more you can kind of look back and say, right, we are dealing with the Gaddafis, we are the authorities. We have the power to deal with people like al-Islam and Gaddafi. So they're saying that we are the authority. But also you have to remember that Gaddafi's trial wasn't sanctioned by the ICC. But Danusi, the former head of the intelligence service in Libya, his trial was sanctioned to be held in Libya by the ICC. And that he got a death sentence as well. Also remember that certain people were acquitted, which again shows, I guess, the power of the legal authorities in Libya, which is not all about sentencing people to death. it is a judicial process.
Mr. Doron, let me ask you about the leaders. So during Gaddafi time, it was clear that there's a Gaddafi there, his son, who are running the country. So, and Saif al-Islam probably was one of the most recognized figures of the regime. So 4 years after the demise of the regime, do we see any emergence of the leaders who would be recognized? Because it seems that elite is split. You see, the country is disintegrated, so no one knows the names of the leaders. But the country really needs politicians, leaders who would be recognized, who would represent the country, and who would be able just to spell out, to promote coherent development strategy which can unite the country.
Which is very true, but the problem in Libya, as you've said, is that there are so many different factions, so many different groups based on politics, based on tribe, based on religion, based on ethnicity. There are so many different kind of elements, so many factors who can hold power. But trying to form an amalgam, an alliance of different groups is very, very difficult in Libya. And I think anybody realized after the 2011 revolution in Libya, when Gaddafi was removed, his father, Muammar Gaddafi, when he was removed, what the problems were in Libya. It's very hard to organize an authority, a central authority in Libya, to control the whole country when the whole country is riven by such factionalism. And even now, it's very hard. And certain groups like ISIS, Daesh, will play on this and use the division between the people, between the various factions within Libya, to set up their own power bases. And they've been very successful in doing that, because ISIS, through Daesh, are very successful in bringing people together, forming coordinated authoritarian groups who can control areas in Libya, which the other factions simply cannot, because they haven't got the central guiding authority and guiding power that Daesh has.
Okay, well, what I wanted to ask you all about that, you're just kind of building upon what you mentioned, do you think that this death sentence is going to be a non-event then in conflict resolution in Libya, or could it perhaps create a complication in these proposed reconciliation talks that some external actors are talking about?
It's complicated in terms of the death sentence, because the death sentence has been announced in Tripoli, but the Alassane Gaddafi himself is actually held in a city in the west of Libya.
Yeah, that's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, he hasn't been handed over. So he's still a bargaining chip. So I certainly don't think the death sentence will be carried out very soon, because he has worked certain groups as a bargaining chip to be used in various kind of negotiations, shall we say, in the future. Mm-hmm. So he's just fallen into this whole kind of idea of factionism within Libya. He's a pawn, basically, and he can be used to gain certain kind of leverage in certain areas.
Red Line.
And right now we have to switch over to other guest that's on the line, and that is Mr. Marwan Kabbalan, Associate Researcher at the Arab Center for Research and Policy Studies in Doha. Hello, Mr. Kabbalan. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm good, thank you.
Hi. So we only have about a minute, 2 minutes or so, just to get your views on Saif al-Islam. Well, what can you tell us about this surprise death sentence that the self-proclaimed Islamist government can't even enforce? Do you think this is an important announcement, or is it just a smokescreen or a bargaining chip?
Well, I think it wasn't really surprising. I mean, everybody was expecting that he would be given this sentence, because, you know, I mean, he's seen as a key pillar of the former regime, and I believe that this heated internal conflict in Libya. So I think many were expecting that he will be given this sentence. But I think at the end of the day, that might not be really. I mean, he might not be executed. And I think given the ongoing negotiations between the two warring parties, I think at the end of the day, they might have to reach some sort of a compromise, because, as you know, I mean, the Libyan society today is very divided. And I think they really, some know that they really have to find, as I said, a compromise, a national reconciliation, in order to bury the hatchet and look forward to the future.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Kabbalan. Unfortunately, you know, we've run all out of time here, but thank you for giving us your brief commentary. We appreciate it. Right now, we're completed with our final section of Redline. I'd like to thank all of our guests for participating. Beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Evgeny Satanovsky, President of the Institute of the Middle East here in Moscow, as well as a prominent author, Mr. Rod Thornton, Senior Lecturer at the Defense Studies Department of King's College London. And last but not least, Mr. Marwan Kabbalan, Associate Researcher at the Arab Center for Research and Policy Studies in Doha. Right now, we conclude this week's edition of Redline, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kurupko.
And Sergei Storkin.
Thank you for staying with us. Goodbye and take care.
Take care and goodbye.